Welcome to the Real Docs Podcast. Hosted by Dr. Britt Lesher and Dr. Lisa John. Tune in every Wednesdays for new episodes. This podcast does not act as medical advice and should not be used as a substitute for medical care. Please contact your healthcare professional for questions regarding your health.
Welcome back to the Real Docs Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Dr. Britt Lesher.
And I'm Dr. Lisa Jung.
And today we are on season 2, episode 11. And today we're going to be talking all about how to detox properly, all of the different parts of our body that clean out all of those toxins, how you can support those pathways, and things you should be mindful of when you are on a detox, all of those types of things. Mm-hmm. So why don't we kind of just dive in into what kinds of things that we would want to detox from? Mm-hmm. A lot of times people are concerned about toxic buildup. So whether that be from environmental pollutants, which we have talked about before, heavy metals is another really big one that a lot of people find that, okay, I want to do a detox to clean out heavy metal buildup, things like that.
A lot of also like hormones or like personal care, right? What we call like xenoestrogens in terms of more of that toxic buildup from chemical end of things, but mm-hmm. I suppose that also falls within the environmental exposure.
Yeah, there's a lot of like things that our body has to actually detox from.
And also just, you know, if you're someone who takes medications generally, even supplements, you know, a lot of things that really go into your system that you want to make sure what's coming in also goes out.
Right.
And some other things, you know, I think gut detox, parasite detox, which I'm not going to go down into because we have an episode on that. But, you know, a lot of just detox within, you know, just bowel movement as well.
Our body does have its own detoxification system. Like we talked about in episodes before, I think I coined the term, your body has a Brita.
Yes, the water episode. Should you not drink water?
So our body has multiple different ways that it normally detoxes from things. So a lot of times we think about skin, sweating,
liver, kidneys, like our urine output. I mean, again, going back to the gut, your poop.
Yep, your poop. And that's how you get out a lot of things from the gut and the GI system. Also, the lymphatic system or your lymph system, which a lot of people have probably seen all of those like dry brushing videos. We'll kind of go into each of these like little areas and talk about how you can optimize that. One thing I think that a lot of people don't think about when it comes to detoxification is actually through your lungs mm-hmm. and through your breath.
That's literally what I was thinking too.
Because we expel, you know, all of those gases through our breath, right? So why don't we kind of start, what did I say first? Should we start with like skin, how we detoxify from the skin?
Yeah.
If you are watching this on the YouTube channel, then you probably saw our thumbnail or probably saw photos of us in the little sauna contraption.
Little hut.
We both have this sauna, infrared sauna. It's an at-home infrared sauna. Super easy to use. Anybody can use it. Very easy to set up. Mm-hmm. I love mine.
Yes, I love mine. And I got it because you told me about it when you started doing a lot of the detox for yourself. So very, very nice. Collapsible. It's portable. Not that I want to portable it anywhere, but the fact that, you know, I think the point of infrared sauna, which we'll go kind of down into later on in terms of, you know, the different types of sauna as well, but very, very nice in terms of really helping with the detox. And with saunas or things like that, the idea is that you're using something like that where you're raising your core body temperature, where you're basically heating up. And through that heating process, we're now really driving up the metabolism, really driving up the sweating. And through our pores, through that sweating is where we're really just doing a lot of that detox.
Yeah, and we were taught, we had to take an environmental medicine course while we were in school. And a lot of that was talking about how we can properly detox from a lot of these environmental toxins, heavy metals, things like that, even mycotoxins or toxins that build up in response to mold illness or mold exposure, toxic mold exposure. And one thing that we actually learned is to take a bolus of niacin, right? The niacin flush, in order for you to help to mobilize some of those toxins before you exercise and then before you get into the sauna. So by the time you're sitting in there heating up, the niacin has actually helped to mobilize some of those toxins. So that's something that we kind of learned. I haven't taken a dose of niacin while using the sauna, but a lot of people complain of the niacin flush, which is like a very uncomfortable flushing sensation that happens after taking a bolus of niacin. So that's something to be mindful of. It's not for everyone, and the dose is very dependent.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like a flare of like a rosacea, if anything, mm. in terms of like the flush, or even like sensation of like the hot flash, right?
Right.
I haven't done it either, nor do I really want to be honest. It just, you know, from what we hear from
our patients. We're gentle detox girlies.
Yeah. If anything, I'll like usually work out and mm-hmm. then do exercise. And exercise is another one, you know, while we're kind of on this topic, right? As you're working out and doing a lot of these exercise movements, you're driving up your core temperature, you're sweating. And again, that sweating is the toxin that you're flushing out. So usually I'll do that. And then you jump into the sauna because you're already kind of at that point already of your temperature already being relatively up. And then you just kind of drive it a little more with the infrared. I will take that as my alternative of niacin. I don't want to do niacin flush.
Yeah, and I like the idea of using infrared sauna versus traditional saunas. I mean, all in all, I think using a sauna has been shown to improve your health overall and improve your cardiovascular system. The reason why I like to use the infrared sauna specifically is because, well, A, it's a lot cheaper and you can put it in your home. I don't know if you've seen those really nice like traditional saunas that they usually have in gyms, but they're pretty expensive to get set up. And then also the infrared sauna works a little bit differently, right?
The basis, I'm not going to go into the science and the nitty-gritty and everything, but the idea with infrared sauna is that with the type of the rays that they use, right? It's actually able to heat up your body rather than just the air around you, right? And, you know, again, science, but if you heat up the air around you, but there's also cold air nearby, you know, it's not really effective in terms of you're just kind of averaging out the temperature, right? Versus you're really driving the heat towards your body, towards your core, really raising up the temperature that you want that effectiveness and efficiency. That's really it, you know? Yeah. And most times with, you know, things like steam or dry sauna, a lot of like the traditional like Finnish or Russian saunas, they're, yeah, something a lot of times like you have to be built into the house, or, you know, they do have the contraption that you can buy, but they're expensive, mm-hmm. really expensive. Not to only mention, if you have it built in your house, can't imagine the utility cost yes. on that one.
Takes a lot of energy.
Yeah. For sure. And, you know, it's pros and cons. And a lot of times also those traditional saunas use higher temperatures. So people who are a little more sensitive or intolerant to heat, not the very best thing to start with. Not a bad goal to have mm-hmm. in terms of if you want to have it at your house. I mean, invite us over.
We'll have a little sauna party. We talked about that. Like, yeah. We're just like hook up our saunas and just like chat while we're in our saunas. I mean, it's very comfortable and easy to use. I will say I have seen those mats where like you lay in the mat and then you sweat in the mat.
Oh, yeah,
but
yeah.
I like the idea of that. Like you can just lay in the mat, but then I'm like, where are you lying? Are you lying down on your bed and getting all your sweat all over your bed? Or like, it just seems like it's not as, because I think that Well, I don't know about you guys, but like when I sweat in the sauna, I sweat a lot. There's a lot of sweat. And so I like the one where you sit in because it catches all of it in the mat and you can wash the mat and dry the mat and things like that. So if you guys are interested in getting a little sauna hut like Dr. Lisa and I, then we will leave the link in our info section below and you guys can get the same one that we have, which is very affordable and easy to use. Why don't we kind of head into our second like bigger organ system that does a lot of detoxification, which is like our GI system, gut, liver.
Let's start with the liver because okay. We always talk about liver as this master metabolizing detox organ. It's super important. I know in terms of different social media and things like that, even just, you know, whenever we work with our patients too, we talk about really supporting the liver because it's a really, really major organ that does a lot of good things. And we don't really think about just the sheer amount of things that our body is exposed to that the liver is really trying to take care of us and really filter it out and get it out of the body. And in relation to that too, the liver, you know, it is its own organ, but we do incorporate that within our digestive system, right? In terms of things that we need within our digestion, bowel movement, some of the portions, honestly, I say some, but a lot of the portions also are related and correlated with the liver function. So really, really important. There's also a reason why we always talk about bowel movement with our patients. Are you going every day? Are you pooping every day? What is your poop looking like? You know, all of that, because guess what? That poop that you're trying to get rid of, those hold a lot of toxins, a lot of toxic metabolites of the hormones, the, you know, chemicals, the heavy metals, environmental exposure things, all of the above that you're trying to get rid of. So we don't want them just to be sitting around in our intestines any longer than it really has to, because what your body does is they actually reabsorb a lot of these things that are sitting in your stool that are supposed to leave into your system again if they're not leaving.
Yeah, I think about those people that like are tend more towards the constipation side and maybe they're not going every day, and then all of a sudden they start to notice fatigue, headaches, a lot of these symptoms of toxic buildup. And so I think that is a good message. Like if you're not going every day, all of that stuff that you were supposed to have exit the body on a consistent basis, like taking the trash out every day, right? If you're holding all your trash in your house, like it's going to get smelly in there. So so that's kind of a good way to think about it. The liver and the GI system is very important too, just because the liver does have to detoxify everything that comes through the blood from the GI system. And that's how we also produce a lot of the bile, right? To like help put the stool together. It's actually what gives stool. It's like brownish, greenish color. So making sure you have good bile flow that's coming from the liver is also really important. We talk a lot about herbs that can help kind of stimulate bile flow. So a lot of that is like the milk thistle, the dandelion root, those types of things. Why they say they're good for the liver is because they stimulate this flow to like also help regenerate liver cells and then create bile flow so that you can actually excrete out these things. Another point of like liver support things, we talk a lot about sulfur rich foods, and this is kind of a double-edged sword because I don't know if you've experienced it in with your patients, probably, but like a lot of sulfur rich foods give people gas. Yes. And bloating. Yes. But it's so important for liver support because that sulfur compound is actually how your liver is detoxing things in there, but a lot of people have issues with it, right?
Yeah it's yeah, double-edged sword, like you said. It's like you get to get some detox, but oh, here's gas.
Yeah.
And, you know, the sulfur compound, when we're talking about that too, right? The other things that really come to our mind when we talk about really supporting the liver within that detox pathway too, is things like NAC or N-acetylcysteine, which is a precursor to our major antioxidant that really works with our liver, with our body, the glutathione. Love that. A little stinky because of the sulfur,
yep.
But love for those when it comes to liver. And then when it comes to the GI, you know, I think the name of the game here is making sure you're regular, making sure you are excreting your bowel movement every single day as much as possible.
Yeah, and we use like a number of things in naturopathic medicine to help someone be more regular from that standpoint, like fiber supplements. We use like magnesium to help draw more water and excrete things, right?
Probiotics.
Exactly.
A lot of like, I feel like we don't really try to do like a lot of stimulating things mm-hmm. unless we really need to. But I feel like magnesium also can be like one of those things where if and when the time is needed, it can be very stimulating.
Yes. We've experienced that.
I've experienced this.
Yes. So that's one thing that we always have to remind our patients is like magnesium is like nature's relaxant. Maybe I've already done this, but that meme with Oprah, that's like, you know, when Oprah's giving out cars, she's like, you get a car. It's like everyone gets magnesium because so many people are magnesium deficient. But, you know, there is this threshold to it because there's different forms that I just love using magnesium in my practice. But yes, there is that disclaimer, like it is a relaxant. It does relax your bowels, aka you can shit yourself. No, I'm just kidding.
No, but really.
it can be quite, it can be quite the laxative. So even though it's natural, it still can have a very profound, powerful effect when used in larger dosages. So that's why it's important. And you guys already know what we're going to say, to work with a provider.
Yes. I feel like that's like major stuff when it comes to like liver and intestines, right? Or,
yeah.
or GI tract.
What do you think about the whole like chlorella, what are those they use, like zeolite clay, there's the shilajit, there's a whole slew of them. And maybe we talked about this a little bit in the parasite episode with detoxing your gut, or even like the food poisoning episode. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times like people think about using binders as a way to detox, but I do get concerned about like if someone tends towards the constipation side, bulking up and like solidifying a stool is sometimes an issue, right? And can make someone even more constipated.
Mm-hmm. Not good. I'm a big fan of them at times, you know, if it's at the right time and right maybe frequency, definitely not something every day. Because, you know, charcoal, chlorophyll, bentonite clay or zeolite clay, they're great for what it does. But again, it comes with the caution of, well, if there's any sort of other foods or other supplements or other medications, you know, those are also going to be something that can interact with those. I would say chlorophyll water, that's something I'm rather okay about for like more of an everyday thing. Mm-hmm. I know it's really good for more of the lymphatic mm-hmm. end of things, so really some lymphatic support. But again, it's also one of those things where if you're getting a lot of dark leafy greens and just a lot of greens in your diet, you know, I don't really think there's really a necessity that someone has to be on chlorophyll or chlorella, even unless it makes sense. Make it make sense to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, I agree definitely. I think that there's like times and places for uses of those things. And I'm always just mindful of like, okay, let's get the general, like how your body generally detoxes. Like, let's make that work first because our body innately detoxes, right? So let's get those things working first before we try to add in any sort of like additional detoxifiers or binders. And then also thinking about like the patient population that would need it, because like the average person, if you're not doing, you know, I think about those like drinks that people make with the activated charcoal in them. Oh, yeah. Or they're just like, they're more of like that wellness, or even just like thinking about like juices that mm-hmm. have the chlorophyll and the detoxifiers and how it's purported to be like part of this like cleanse or all of those types of things. I just think they're more of a gimmick right? Mm. Not necessarily something that we think about in a clinical setting. Like, I don't think I've ever recommended a juice cleanse with like chlorophyll and things like that. So those might be just more gimmicks, right? And then I think you've talked about too before, like activated charcoal mixed in a drink. Mm-hmm. It's like negating the properties of the drink, right?
Yeah, I learned the hard way because I think when we were students, mm-hmm. one time I was like juicing because I have this like really nice juicer my mom gave me, and I was like, I'm gonna make the gimmicky drink.
Yeah.
Juices in yeah. terms of not for the cleansing purpose, but just I like juice.
You have, yeah.
I like juice. But I was just like, I'm gonna make this healthy because we had, you know, as students going to different conferences or talks, we get free samples, you know, yeah. for different things. So I had activated charcoal. I was like, I'm gonna add this like into my like drink and like blah blah blah. And then I think I posted on social media and one of the gals that we went to school with, she's like, doesn't that like bind up all your vitamins and minerals? And I was like, oh my God, I didn't even think about that. Like, mm-hmm. mind blown. Just not really connecting the dot. So since then, I'm just like, why the hell did I even do that? Mm. You know? But now, you know, for us being doctors and seeing our patients and seeing also what's in the media and what's in Erewhon even, and you know, other these health food stores, like they still make activated charcoal lemonades, activated charcoal smoothies, mm. where it's like, okay, like obviously I made my mistake, but like what are you guys doing? Yeah.
Like, what the? They're just uninformed.
Yeah.
So maybe they'll listen to this episode and they'll be like, oh damn.
Yeah. Get your ish together, Erewhon, with your darn activated charcoal smoothie.
But there are a lot of, like, I even think of the Juneshine, like, alcoholic beverages.
Oh, yeah.
They put activated charcoal in it to, like, try to negate the alcohol content and all of that.
It's still alcohol.
Yeah. Well, like, I will say that, like, activated charcoal has its time and place in a clinical setting, using these, like, binders that we've been talking about. But I just think there are many things that you can try before using like the activated charcoal and things like that. Speaking of, we kind of touched on the topic of lymph. That's another important detoxifying kind of, should we call it an organ? I guess it is like a system of the body. But your lymph is kind of, if you kind of want to picture it, like your cardiovascular system and your veins and artery system, but like more for your immune system. So
it's like sewage.
Yeah. It's the sewage system. It really
but it's
is.
Important.
Yes. And the sewage system is kind of, and then the cardiovascular system is like the lakes and canals that then, you know, lead out to the ocean. Yes. Who knows? We're not.
We're lost in the ocean.
We're not what city planners. But anyway, your lymph system, you know, obviously you've probably heard of lymph nodes, and every time you get sick or anytime you have any sort of infection, you have your swollen lymph nodes, and that's how we can tell if your immune system is fighting something off. And the lymph system is slightly connected to the cardiovascular system, so it really does a good job at like filtering out things from the blood, and then we also excrete it the same way, you know, through our urine, through the through bile, GI, all of that stuff.
We can like combine kidneys with like lymph a little bit,
yeah,
too, because a lot of it is like that similarity of like the filtering, right? Filtering our blood and then making sure whatever was filtrated is like excreting out, and a lot of times it's like urine. Yeah,
that's how like your tissues really, the gunk from your tissues gets put back into the blood, is actually through via the lymphatic system. So we've seen all sorts of things, like you've probably seen them online, like the gua sha, the dry brushing, right? The lymphatic drainage massage, all of these types of things help to stimulate lymph flow so that we can get these things out.
Love lymphatic drainage.
I think one thing, I know Dr. Lisa has tried a lymphatic drainage massage and I've been meaning to go because it looks like it does wonders. And I have heard from patients too, even just like regular old massage, really just like people can notice a slimming effect after massage therapy if they're, you know, their channels are open and they're detoxifying properly. Even just a plug for moving your body and exercise, because that pumping mechanism, we always talked about, like, even when you're sitting, like pumping, shaking, moving your kind of, yeah, we're always kind of like fidgeting, I guess. Right. But you want to stay fluid. You want to stay in movement. You don't want to stay locked up for too long, because then that's how things get stagnant. Your lymphatic system is connected to your brain, and that is only active when you are asleep. So that's just a plug for adequate sleep at night, so that your brain can drain and your, that seems like a weird way to say it, but yeah, you drain your brain.
Your brain.
You detox your brain. And there's a lot of research around that being associated with beta amyloid plaque detox, right? And Alzheimer's, why Alzheimer's is associated with sleep deficiency.
Not only that, you know, the easiest and foundational things that we can also do, right, is water. Just making sure you're flushing out, you know, the toxins through, you know, via lymph, via kidneys, via urine and all of that. A lot of people, you know, whether they realize it or not, are not drinking enough water. You definitely don't want to drink too much water to the point that it's not healthy for you, but it's also unhealthy to not drink proper amount of water that your body needs, especially when it comes to, you know, so many different benefits, but especially when it comes to flushing out toxins. So get your water. And on that note, one thing we forgot to kind of mention with the sauna end of things, when you're sweating a lot, you're also losing a lot of your water. You're losing a lot of your own natural electrolytes as well through the sweating. So make sure you're replenishing. Make sure you're drinking water throughout when you're doing sauna. And then make sure also, after you're done, go rinse off right away as soon as you can. Because guess what? If you're not wiping away the sweat, or you're not cleansing away the sweat right away, your body likes to reabsorb that back too.
Yep.
Your body is kind of funky. They like to reabsorb things back.
And we also learned about the reabsorption of water and certain minerals and things like that through our kidney system, and that our kidney, you know, does a really good job at determining how dehydrated or hydrated we are, and that determines how hard your kidneys have to work to try to reabsorb things. So that's why there's such a big correlation between chronic dehydration and kidney issues, because your kidneys have to work overtime to try to balance how hydrated you are in your body. So electrolytes, making sure you're drinking half of your body weight in ounces of liquid per day. That is our recommendation.
Kidneys, I feel like, are like organs that most people it's like the forgotten.
Yeah, it is.
It's a little sad. They're really important.
Did we hit all of them?
I think we kind of hit all of them. I guess one thing I want to talk about, which you alluded to already a little bit, is that anytime these toxins are moving, right? Because a lot of these heavy metals, chemicals, whatever have you, they like to deposit and build up within our adipose tissue. So whether you're doing the sauna, whether you're exercising, anytime there is that fat loss, that is also opening up a can of worms, right? In terms of these metals and chemicals that are now coming into your system. And if they're not being excreted out, and I think we talked about this in one of the episodes too, right? If you're not excreting out these toxins properly, they are going to go into your circulation, and then you can start having systemic symptoms, things like headache, nausea, or even just like diarrhea sometimes, a lot of like the flu-like symptoms. So make sure that when you're doing any sort of detoxing, make sure it's with a medical professional who knows what they're doing, who can walk you through kind of the pros and cons, the ins and outs and all that, you know, all of the above, so that you don't have to feel like crap while you're doing some healthy detox.
Yeah. And I think that that's one thing that I always tell patients about, warn patients about, that detox reaction. If you've ever done any sort of detox, sometimes people can feel worse before they feel better. And that's just the reaction. Because if you think about it, like if you clean out the house, which is what you're doing when you do a detox, there's going to be gunk that comes out and your body's like, what the hell do I do with all of this stuff, right? And so it does take some work, some energy. That's why a lot of times people can feel very tired and run down when they're doing a detox. But there's ways around it, and that's why, that's what we are here for. And just another kind of plug too with detox, if someone's purposely doing a detox, it has to be a holistic approach, because like we talked about, there are different systems of the body and they're all connected to each other. So if you're just only, you know, flushing one channel but not the other, there's going to be a backup. So work with a provider. A naturopathic provider is very much trained in these types of things and they can help you. We will leave some of the links for some of the things that we have mentioned in this episode so that you guys have access to them. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out.
DM us, comment on the YouTube, wherever you can find us, wherever you can reach us.
We're pretty responsive, I would say. Thanks for tuning in to the Real Docs podcast. As always, be real
and stay well.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Real Docs podcast. Don't forget to like and share this episode and follow us on our social media pages. Tune in every Wednesday for more episodes.